Welcome to Trinity Alliance. I'm Jessie. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are so glad to have you with us this morning. I hope you feel a very special welcome, whether today is your first day or whether today is just another day here. So thank you so much for being with us. We are finishing up. Yesterday was our last day in this 21 days of enjoying Jesus through prayer and fasting. And I hope and I trust that the Lord was speaking to all of us as we were praying and fasting during this time. And I hope that you were able to come early this morning for the table between this hour before kind of in between both of our services, where we have to fellowship with one another, pray for one another. And I hope that you were able to share some of what God did in your life during these 21 days. And if you weren't able to do that today, then I hope that next week that you are able to come and share what God's doing in your life with one another. I wanted to let you know about a couple of things. I hope that when you came in, you got a flyer with some resources for Revelation as we're continuing our Revelation sermon series that Pastor Sean has been working through. And since a lot of us don't read Revelation perhaps as regularly as we might read other parts of the Bible, it might feel a little like we're not sure what to do with this sometime. And so there's this list of resources that is helpful if you're wanting to dive in deeper or if you're wanting just more support. There's those resources there for you. If you didn't get one, it's also on our website, tacreading.info, under the resource tab. And so we want to make sure that you know about that. A couple other things is we have coming up on November 1st a refresh retreat. Well, what is a refresh retreat? This is an opportunity for you to come and be refreshed by the love of Jesus. This is an opportunity to come spend the day right here on our church campus in worship and exploring some different prayer practices, some different spiritual practices. And I hope that you'll come and that you'll take part in being able to practice different ways to pray and being able to hear God speak in different ways. And so that's coming up November 1st. You can sign up on our website, or you can also take the connection card in front of you and write Refresh Retreat on there and your contact info, and we'll be sure to mark you down. In fact, the connection cards, I regularly reach out to anyone who fills one out with a prayer request or anyone that's new. And so if you'd like to just get in contact, those connection cards are a great way to communicate with the church office, particularly if you didn't get a chance to maybe get around to everybody during the table between. Finally, we also have a family chili night coming up. This is sponsored by the Men's Ministry. This is October 25th. Traditionally, this has been a men's event, but this year the men wanted to open it up and invite all the women and all the families so that we can be together. So I hope that you will be there for that. And there's more information about that in your bulletin, as well as all sorts of other things happening this week and coming up. In just a moment, we're going to have Dia and Dawn share about what God is doing in their family. But as they're coming up, would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for your love and your goodness. We thank you that you communicate your love to us through your Holy Spirit. You communicate your love for us through the cross of Jesus Christ, that we have been brought back into relationship with you because of Jesus' death on the cross. And we thank you for what you've been communicating and showing us during these last 21 days. We thank you for sustaining us through this fast. And God, help us to hear you every day, not just during these days of fasting and praying. And may you be the joy in our lives every day, no matter what trials we're facing, because in your presence is the fullness of joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. The table between is actually becoming the increased waistline between. I'm noticing eating a lot of food out there. Hello, we're the Crops family. We're the Crop family. We have Nava, Jude, myself, Don, Dia, and Little Meadow. I was filling out some paperwork for the church and asked us how long we've been at Trinity Alliance. I said 7, and actually we calculated it's been 8 years since we started attending. So Nava was 10, Jude, he was 8, Meadow was just a little baby, and Dia and I, we were 20 years old when we started, so we're young. Yeah, so, okay, so some of you all are confused by our lives. So this is a time to bring a little bit of clarity, a little insight about what we are doing. You're familiar with us bringing, we've done some work in Central America and Panama, done missions work in Cambodia and Japan and other places. And so, but this has actually been decades in the making. This is going to be sort of our first step into full-time ministry overseas. As you know, the harvest is plentiful. You go outside, the harvest is there as well. But for the crops, we have a call to go overseas. And so we're actually going to be going to a DTS, a discipleship training school with YWAM. Anybody familiar with YWAM? Yeah. So we're really excited about that. If you could put it in the next slide, please. We want to bring a little bit of clarity. So why WAM, why Malaysia, why now, why us? And so we'll talk a little bit about why WAM. The next slide, please. If you're not familiar with YWAM, it stands for Youth with a Mission, and we're very youthful. But it resonates with us because it's a global Christian movement. It provides training and conducts mercy ministries to spread the gospel. And it's sort of decentralized and has a multicultural structure. And it emphasizes youth mobilization. And so actually our two teens here, they're actually going to also be YWAMers. And so that Penang base in Malaysia, it's multi-generational. And so they can also get college credit for their humanities. So and it's going to be an awesome opportunity for us to minister together to learn how to be activated for the Lord. And so and the ministry span from healthcare to agriculture. I have a healthcare background, and we have like a little tiny farm that produced one apple this year. So we want to grow in our agriculture. Sam knows. One apple and one pomegranate. So we want to grow in that. So yeah, next slide, please. So you want to talk a little bit about just Penang in general?
Sure. I mean, why this particular base was because it's one of the few multi-generational ones. YWAM does offer like family DTSs, but Nava was a little too old for that. Then there's Crossroads for middle-agers, but then with the kids in tow. So we found this multi-generational base, and so we thought this is great. So for the 3 months, we will be in Penang, Malaysia, and doing some classroom portion and then also outreach. They really believe in the doing, like live and do, you know, so it's a kind of a community, living in somewhat of a community, and then also learning a book, but then also actually hands-on, which will be great because Meadow will be in a discipleship program as well for kids, and she'll be homeschooling, but then there'll be some just intersection between like what she's doing with us. That this particular base has a 24/7 like prayer and worship portion to it. It has a school for Burmese children from Myanmar, and maybe some other refugees. And then they have a distribution kind of community center that provides food and clothing. And then they do arts outreach. They do sports outreach. So while we're there in Malaysia, we'll be kind of doing a little bit of a lot of those things. And then afterward, the 2 months where you do fully outreach, they won't tell us where we're going yet. They kind of wait until you're a little bit into it. So we could end up, for the 2 months, we could end up in Cambodia, Vietnam, probably somewhere in Southeast Asia, or I don't think so, but somewhere in Southeast Asia, probably. But we'll let you guys know when we find out where we're going for that. And then, did you want to say anything else about Malaysia?
Next slide, please. Yeah, so we depart for Malaysia January 5th. So like Dia said, the DTS, the school part is 3 months, and then there's that 2 months activation. Malaysia, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, with where that is. It's sort of you go, you know, over the ocean, the Great Pacific, hang a left, go down south, about 17 hours flight from San Francisco to. And Jude and I, we did not get tickets with legroom, so pray for us, extra legroom. So we're suffering for Jesus right away. So just Malaysia in general, you know, the Islam is the national religion, I think at about 60%. Then Buddhism, Hinduism, and Christianity, I think, is in the singular percentage, single digit percentage numbers there. So there's going to be a lot of work to do. So we're excited about that. The harvest is plentiful. So what can you do to partner with us? Well, obviously, we covet your prayers. That's the most you can do. We will also covet your encouragement to stay in touch with us. Sort of, you know, a general woe of missionaries, it seems, worldwide is, you know, just feeling alone, feeling, you know, maybe the Wolskis can attest to this since they were out there in the field working hard. Sometimes it just feels, you know, out of sight, out of mind type of thing. So we'll need your encouragement. Of course, there's opportunities to support in a financial way too, through the church. And so, but we want to stay in touch with you. We have a website that we've thrown up there to, and, you know, social media and things like that. We'll also keep you all abreast of what's going on with us in that. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you. And Dia, you have something else?
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say, the way YWAM works is, you know, DTS is kind of your first step. And then after that, you can start a base, you know, somewhere you can plug into existing ministry. So possibly on the other side of this, we could end up, you know, starting a base or some kind of work in Panama. We'll kind of see. This is sort of, like I said, you know, we know this next step, like the 5 months after that, we're not sure exactly where we're going to end up. But we'll be in touch, and we'll see you guys, Lord willing, in June on the other side of this, and we can tell you what's to come after that.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
You gotta stay up. Don't walk. Get back up here. So, we're gonna pray for this family as well. We're very excited. If you're newer to our church, you don't know the Crops. I called them weird first service, but they're not really weird. Actually, they're kind of weird because they're going on mission field. They don't even. I mean, you do know, I guess, what you're gonna do the next 5 months. But I mean, who needs to know 6 months down the road, really? I mean, seriously. Anyway, they are just following Jesus, and this is awesome, and this is an amazing family. So if you're new to this church, I just want you to know, like, you are. You don't need to worry about investing in this family and worry like, oh, maybe they're not really worth it or whatever. This is a great family who love Jesus, and they are called to this. I told them earlier, but I mean, when they first arrived, I arrived 8 years ago, so right before they arrived, and when they started attending our church, the first thing I thought when I met them was like, they're going to be missionaries. I just knew it. I just, like, I don't know why, but it just, this is what God has had on, he's had his hand on their life for a long time to do this, and I'm so excited for them to do it as a family. So we want to pray for them as they go, or before they go. They, of course, got a couple more months with us. If you would like to give financially to them, we have got them set up. We're still working on the final details, but you can give to them through the church. And so if you want to write a check to the church, just put their name in the memo line, and then we'll make sure that gets passed on to them. So if you'd like to support them in that way, you can do that. And then, like I say, prayer in friendship as well. So would some of you come and let's lay hands on them and let's pray for them, and the rest of us, maybe you could stand and just join us in this prayer as well for this amazing family that God is calling. Lord, we thank you for the Crops. Lord, I don't know, I just was thinking again, they have some kind of idea of what's going to happen in the next 5 or 6 months, and then there's just really wide open after that. And so I thank you for this family, that one, you've called them, but that you are giving them the courage to, in essence, kind of just jump, take a jump, and to quit their jobs, to leave the home that they love, to leave the family and extended family that are here, and the friends and the church community they have. They're willing to take this leap, in essence, off the cliff into your will, and I just pray that you give them peace as they do so. I know you already have, but that would continue. that they would just really sense your presence, all of them, not just Don and Dia, but the kids as well, that they would all really just sense your peace and your presence with them as they take this leap. And Lord, I pray that, you would bless them, encourage them, empower them to do the ministry, and continue to reveal your will to them at just the right time and just the right moment. And help us as a church as well. Lord, would you remind us of them often to pray for them, to send them messages of encouragement. And also, Lord, would you pour out extra blessing for us financially, that we would be able to give and support them as well. Lord, that we would be able to come alongside them in all of these different tangible ways, in prayer and encouragement and relationship, and also this, the financial realities of this world. So we thank you for that. Continue to expand our reach as a church. Continue to expand the hearts of this family to your will, but also to the kingdom that you're continuing to seek to build. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I'm Pastor Sean, and privileged to be here with you this morning. And privileged to be going through this book of Revelation. I hope you are finding encouragement in it. Oftentimes, the book of Revelation is seen as, a pretty pessimistic book filled with judgment and fear and trembling and all of that. And I've tried to point out, as we've worked our way through this reality, that there is tons of blessing in it. There's tons of encouragement in it. And that this book, that one of the primary things that it's attempting to do is actually to inspire us to join Jesus as he's continuing his work on earth. And so I hope you can see that. I hope you've been able to hear some of that. I hope you've been able to receive some of that. And I hope you've been inspired by some of that. Today we're going to be in chapters 15 and 16. And specifically, these chapters are dealing with what is considered the bowl judgments, or the seven bowls of God's wrath. And so again, we can tend to come to a passage like this and have a sense or a tendency to think that this is all doom and gloom and horrible and scary stuff. And in some level, it is scary, but it is not, the purpose is not so much to be scared, but is to actually encourage us. The book of Revelation has been written to the church. It's not written to evil people. It's not written to people that are opposed to God's kingdom. It's written to those who have accepted and embraced God's kingdom, those who are walking and following with Jesus, right? And so because it's been written to us, even these judgments aren't meant to depress us. They're meant to encourage us, to inspire us, to give us proper perspectives, to help to make sure we're aware of certain things, but also to motivate us to join Jesus in the things that he's doing. I loved how Grace began the worship set this morning with the idea of the presence of God, because I see this reality, and indeed it's really my first main point of this message today, is this focus on the temple. We see in this verse, Revelation 15, verse 5, it reads as follows: after this, and I think I have it on the screen for you as well. After this, I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened. Throughout the book of Revelation, we see this reference to the throne, right? Reference to the temple, reference to the sanctuary, reference to the kingdom of God, the heavenly realms. Over and over again, we've seen this. Revelation 4:1 reads as follows: after this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Revelation 11:19, then God's temple in heaven was open, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. So over and over again, Jesus, as he is revealing these images and these words to John, is wanting to emphasize the temple, emphasize the kingdom of heaven, emphasize the throne room. And why? Because he wants to remind us of where all of this is happening. That it is in the midst of the throne room of the kingdom of heaven that all that is happening, all that's been seen, all that's been written about is all being conducted, right? Like, it's pointing to this reality that the Lamb is in authority, that he is in control. That there is nothing that happens on the earth that is outside of the purview or the will, if you will, of God, right? Of the Lamb. And so over and over again, Jesus reveals this open door, this open sanctuary, this open temple, this open heavenly realm, and he invites us in to see from that perspective. And when we understand that the tragedy and the tribulation that is happening all around us, when we understand that all of that is under the authority of the throne, all of it's under the authority of the Lamb, then we who are followers of the Lamb should be encouraged. We can be encouraged that no matter how hard life is or how difficult or the suffering that we're walking through, like that Jesus is overseeing this. Not that he's causing it, but that he has, he is a part of what's happening. That just because we're suffering, it doesn't mean that God has left us, but that he is continuing to manage all that is happening in our world. This is a beautiful and wonderful encouragement. But there's more here I want to point out. Again, these three references to the temple, notice the same word is used in each one of them describing the temple or the throne or heaven. In verse 15:5, it is the witness, it's in heaven, excuse me, the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened. In verse 4, verse 1, after this I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. In Revelation 19, we see God's temple in heaven was opened. The repeated word of opened. And what does that mean? What is that? Why is it using that particular word over and over again? And I believe it's, first of all, to declare this reality that the kingdom of heaven is not closed. It is open still. Despite all the judgments that we're seeing and reading, even in this chapter of chapter 16, the devastation that is happening, the horrible things that we're seeing, God's wrath being poured out, all this kind of stuff, like Jesus wants us to recognize that the kingdom of heaven is still open. And that openness of the kingdom gives us encouragement because, first of all, we know that he's still here. That God is still with us, right? He's still working in this world. But also it's an encouragement because the kingdom is not done growing. There's more to come into the kingdom of God yet. And so this, it's an important to recognize that the kingdom of God, the throne room of God is still open. There's still time. There's still room for more people to come into his kingdom, to be adopted into his family, to be able to walk away or separate or be saved from the way of the dragon and instead to join the way of the Lamb. But there's something more about this open that I want to also emphasize. I think the first century church, when they were reading or hearing this particular chapter be read, would have immediately attached that word open to their understanding of other times when that word open was used to refer to the kingdom of God. In their recent history of the Christians in that first century, they would have remembered Stephen in Acts 7, verses 55 and 56, as he is being martyred for his faith. He says he is full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand." They would also have immediately remembered another time when heaven was described as open, when Jesus called Nathanael to be his disciple. And Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." But even more so, they would have gone back to the Old Testament. And they would have remembered the patriarch Jacob. And they would have remembered his nap that he took, sleeping one night with his head on a rock. and he had a dream, Genesis 28, 12 to 15. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give you and to your offspring. And why is this open heaven being open passage important? Because it points to this reality too, that because heaven is still open, God is still working to bring about his promises. He is answering he's fulfilling the covenantal promises of the Old Testament as is declared here to Jacob, right? He would have seen the heavens open because the promise to his father and to his grandfather are not done yet. It's not fulfilled yet. There's still hope that God is going to come and bring his fulfillment of those promises yet. And the New Testament church, that first century church, as they read this, and indeed as we read it today, 2,000 years removed from that first century church, we should hear the kingdom of heaven is still open. People are still being added into that kingdom, but God is also coming, and he is still bringing about the fulfillment of all of his promises, not just the covenantal promises to the people of God, but also the individual personal promises that he has spoken to each one of us. Hallelujah. Do you see the encouragement? Again, we read a chapter like 16 and the seven bowls of God's wrath, and we get sucked into all the trauma and all the terror and all the tribulation. But in the midst of it, again, this book has been written to the church to make us aware, but also to encourage us to not forget that the kingdom of God is still open. There's still work to do that he's doing. The throne room is open today. The Lamb is continuing to pursue the sick and the hurting. The Father is continuing to adopt new children into his family. The Spirit is continuing to make new creations. And the Godhead is continuing to fulfill all of his promises. Hallelujah. The other portion of encouragement comes in the sense of increasing our awareness. Again, Revelation is written to the church, and he's written it to us not because he wants us to fear, not so that when we look through all the judgments that are listed in these chapters in this book that we would be afraid of what's coming, but he's given us these verses in order to encourage us, to help to make us aware so that we would not lose sight. Matter of fact, he's sharing these things with us beforehand so that when they do happen, we will be aware of what's happening in the midst of it and what God is trying to do. We talked previously about the idea that all of these judgments aren't coming from a vengeful God who is emotionally seeking to just tear up and destroy and to kill those who have rejected him and rebelled from him. Of course, we know Romans 5, right? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He still has that same attitude. The judgments that have come and that are described in this book are not Jesus seeking to destroy and to kill. They're actually Jesus seeking to discipline his people. He's seeking to hopefully wake them up to recognize that the way that they're living is a way of destruction. And that he doesn't want them to continue in that way because he has created them for the way of life instead. And so he allows humanity to experience the consequences of our sins, the consequences of the evil things that we choose to do, so that we will go, oh, wait a second, this isn't working. There's got to be a different way. This man, all I see is destruction all around me. All I see is horrible things happening. All the things I do is hurt other people. And so we would recognize these disciplines and these painful suffering and tribulation, and then we would turn from those evil and wicked ways and choose instead to follow in the way of the Lamb. We see in chapter 16, both the escalation and the fullness of God's judgment come to fruition. I've mentioned, I think, this briefly before, but there's an escalation in these judgments we see. The seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. Things continue to get more and more broad in the expanse of the judgments. In the seal judgments, there was 25% of the earth that was affected. In the trumpets, it was a third of the earth that was affected. Here in the bowls, we will see all of creation is affected. And so because of that, we see this escalation of judgment. Now, we should be careful not to see this chronologically in the sense of over history. Like, we shouldn't see, like, the seal judgments come, and then once they're done, then the trumpet judgments, and then once they're done, then the bowl judgments. What we should see, again, this is happening in our life, around our world, right now. I would challenge anyone to read some of these passages and the descriptions of the judgments, of the earthquakes, of the famines, of the plagues, and all of these things, and not be able to see anywhere in our current realities where those things are happening. These tribulations are happening today. The seal judgments are happening today. They're all around us. We see them. The trumpet judgments, we see them. The bowl judgments, we see them. They're a real current reality for us. And so we don't want to see this chronologically as if it's just the seals and then trumpets and then bowls, but we want to see them holistically. And we can see this even within our own lives or the lives of those we love who have chosen the way of evil, the way of sin. I don't know about you, but I remember as a kid, right? You know, I used to do really dumb things. I used to, you know, sin in all kinds of different ways because I thought that was the way to go, right? I thought that was the cool thing to do. And the consequences for those sins in my younger years weren't as significant oftentimes as the consequences of the sins that I did when I was in my late teens and then when I was in my 20s. And as a parent, we see this with our kids. We try to help them to find the way of the Lamb young so that those consequences won't grow and grow and grow, so that when they're adults and they can really do damage to others and to themselves, like, hopefully they've found Jesus already. But so we see the escalation of judgment. It's a natural reality of our life as well, that as we grow in our sin, we have the power to do worse and worse things, and the consequences for those worse and worse things becomes more and more severe. But all of this is because Jesus' grace, because of God's mercy. He desires to wake us up. He desires to open our eyes. He desires for us to recognize that we're headed in this wrong direction. We see in Revelation 16 not just this escalation of judgment, but also we see the fullness of judgment. Again, as I mentioned before, we see all of creation impacted. Revelation 16:3, I don't think I have this on the screen for you, but it reads, "The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea." A brutal and horrible judgment here, but notice again the scope. Here in the bold judgments, it seems like there is some kind of finality to it. And this is true of the finality of God's judgments and consequences for our own evil desires, our own sins. We see this. There are people that continue to walk in the way of the dragon, that continue to walk in the sinful path of destruction and death. And eventually, their life does come to an end. The consequences and the judgment finally come. And ultimately, right, death is that final judgment, that final consequence of sin that all of us have to endure. Some, those in the kingdom, we endure it with joy because we know it's the end of death, not the end of life for us. But for those who haven't come into the kingdom of God, death is that final nail in their coffin. That is the end for them, and that enters them into eternal death instead of eternal life. We see this total judgment. We see this total destruction. We see this total pouring out of God's wrath. But again, why is Jesus revealing these things to John? Why is he sharing this with the church? Why would he do this? Why would he share all these details? It's because he wants us to be aware. Again, it's twofold. One, he wants those who are walking in the ways of the dragon to recognize that that leads to death and destruction, and hopes that they will turn from that and to choose to walk in the way of life with the Lamb. But for those who are already walking in the way of the Lamb, he wants us to be aware of what he's trying to do. Again, if he is using these judgments as a form of discipline for those who aren't in his kingdom, that means that he's actually seeking to draw them into his kingdom, that it's actually evangelistic. His purpose is evangelistic, right? He wants to help to draw them into his kingdom, and so he's warning these evil people about their ways, but then he wants the church to come alongside those who are experiencing the consequences of their sin in order to proclaim the kingdom of God. He wants us, as those who are walking in the way of the Lamb, to understand his purposes with these judgments and with these disciplines. Because judgment alone is not enough to bring someone into the kingdom of God. Judgment alone simply just hardens hearts and helps them to causes people to despair or to become depressed and just give up. But when there's judgment that comes and we realize, oh my gosh, my life isn't working, everything's falling apart, and then someone comes and says, hey, there's another way. Now there's salvation. And so we have this important role to play in these end times that we continue to walk in the times of tribulation that are all around us. We need to be aware that when we see someone facing the consequences of their sin, that that is the time that they need to hear the gospel. That is the time when they need to be aware and have someone come and tell them that there's another way, that there's hope, that their life doesn't have to continue on this path of destruction, that there is a way of life. I hope you see the heart of God in all of this. His desire is for none to perish. His desire is for all to come into faith and to walk in the ways that he has created them to walk. And we, as the church, who are left in this era, in this season, in this time of tribulation, we are here on purpose to join Jesus and bringing as many into the open kingdom as we can. All judgments are meant to inspire repentance, especially these final judgments. You will note that in three of the seven bold judgments, there is a statement made about repentance. Revelation 16, 8 and 9. The fourth angel poured out his bowl in the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. God's heart is evangelism. It's for them to repent and to turn, to recognize the error of their ways, to humble themselves, to surrender, to give up, and to choose the way of life. The reason that this is repeated three times in the bold judgments is, again, just emphasizing God's heart. He's not doing this just to destroy and to kill. Like, that's not his heart behind it. That's consequences of their sin, and he's allowing that to happen, but that's not his desire. His desire is that they would wake up, that they would turn, they would repent. The truth of these chapters that is highlighted is this reality that the kingdom of God is open. It's still open today, no matter what we see around us. Like, there's still room in his kingdom. We can recognize that he is that God is continuing to pursue those who have yet to bow their knee to him as Lord. And we get the chance to be with him in that, to join Jesus in his mission, to participate in his work. So often we can read through Revelation and we get this mindset that, you know, this is all scary, this is all horrible, this is terrible tribulation, and so we want to escape from it. We want to isolate ourselves from it. We want to build our compounds and have all of our weapons to protect our family and our friends. And we go and we kind of get behind these walls. And maybe they're not big compound walls. Maybe they're just the walls of our house. Maybe the walls of our church. We don't want the world to get in here. We don't want evil to get in here. We want to be protected from it all until, thank God, maybe the rapture will come and I can get out of here. This escapist mindset. But I believe Jesus is inviting us in. He's calling us. He's saying, don't give up. There's people in Malaysia, Southeast Asia. There's people in Panama. There's people in Africa. There's people in India. There's people in Berlin and Germany. There's people in Reading who don't know Jesus yet. They are walking in the way of the dragon, and they are facing the consequences for their sin. And they will never be able to call on the name of Jesus unless those who know his name choose to come alongside them in their darkness, in their pain, and in their suffering. Choose to love them and to care for them, and choose to speak the name of Jesus to them, that they would have the opportunity to recognize the error of their way and that there is another way they can live. Worship team, you can come on up. The book of Revelation has been written to the church, and all of these judgments, including the bowls of God's wrath, are designed to be an encouragement to us as the church, that we would not give up too soon or think that the battle is over and go and isolate ourselves in the corner, but that we would recognize that indeed the kingdom of God is still advancing. His borders are still expanding. The number of people to come into the kingdom, that number isn't full yet. The symbolic number of 144,000 in Revelation 7, we haven't got there yet. There's more to come in. And these chapters, again, they inspire us, invite us to recognize that we have a role to play in this. That we don't have to fear the consequences of evil. Again, over and over again in previous chapters, it talks about the martyrs, right? And where are the martyrs? They're right there in the presence of God in his throne room. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear evil, you know, destroying us. Yeah, it might take our life, but it can't take our soul. It can't take our eternal life. And so we can continue to go into dark places, into those places that people are dealing with so much pain and suffering because of their own sin. And we can have mercy on them because God has mercy on them. And we can show up and we can speak the word of life over them. As we close, I want to encourage us just to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us. Convict us of maybe our tendency to isolate from an evil world. For our tendency maybe to kind of just think, well, you know, it's all going to hell in a handbasket anyway, and just kind of stepping back. May we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts today, to inspire us, to recognize it's not over yet. And a matter of fact, there are millions of people, billions perhaps, that still are ready to come into the kingdom of God, that we have a role, a hand in play to play in that. But two, I want to leave this as well. There may be somebody in this room, I don't know, who's walking that dragon way right now. And maybe throughout this whole message, you're like going, wow, man, I don't like this chapter. I'm experiencing these consequences. Man, my life is really, really messed up right now. Maybe there's somebody in this room that's never chosen to walk in the way of Jesus instead of the way of the world. And if that's you, I want you to understand this is Jesus' warning to you. He's wanting to wake you up. He doesn't want to destroy you. He doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want to make your life more and more painful. He doesn't want to discipline you. He loves you. And because he loves you, he's willing to discipline you and allow you to face the consequences of your sin so that hopefully you will wake up and choose him instead. And so if that's you today, I want to encourage you that today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Matter of fact, here's the reality. While Jesus is coming back soon and we continue to lean into that reality, We never know when that could, it could be today, it could be tomorrow. The more personal reality is every one of us has a last day. And Scripture clearly tells us that that last day, if we haven't made a decision for Christ, by the time that last breath comes, it's too late. And so if you're one that hasn't made that choice to follow Jesus, and you're dealing with the consequences of your sin, I want to encourage you, don't wait till next week, don't wait till you hear more. Today's the day. You only have until that last breath, and you have no idea when that is. And a matter of fact, I'll say this, God knows when that last day is. And so if you happen to be in this room hearing this message today, this is his call to you right now to make a decision right now to follow Jesus. So as we respond in worship, I want to, again, just we're going to have our prayer team up in the front. I want to encourage you to come forward. And for whatever it may be, maybe you're feeling convicted about being more evangelistic and missional and joining Jesus, and you need somebody just to help to pray for you to have the courage to do that or to know what those next steps are. Maybe, again, you're recognizing that you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and today's the day. And if you want to do that, we would love for you to come up. Certainly, you can come up for other reasons. Maybe there's things you brought in with you today that you just need someone to pray with you about. We would love to pray for those things, too. But as we respond in worship, just invite you, if you'd like prayer this morning, we would love to pray for you. All right, will you stand with me? Let's just respond to the Lord in worship. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for your love for us that was so clearly expressed on the cross. And that's your heart. Your heart is not for us to die. You came to die for us. And Lord, I just thank you for the book of Revelation and how you communicate so clearly to us these words of encouragement to your church. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to embrace these realities that indeed you are still in control. You are still active. The kingdom of heaven is open. You're still adding to your numbers. But also, Lord, that we're here on purpose. We have a role, and it's a great role. Lord, there's so much joy for us when we get the privilege of joining you in reaching and caring for and drawing these people out of their life of death into the way of life. So I pray that you just continue to inspire us and encourage us. And may we choose to join you more fully as you continue to build and strengthen your kingdom. Thank you for John chapter 3 and these very foundational, important, and well-read and well-known verses. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us here this morning. We are going to have another song if you want to stay and continue to worship. If you'd like prayer, you can still continue to come. The prayer team will remain up front for a bit more. And we've got the fellowship hall open as well. And so just encourage you as well to stick around and speak life and encouragement over one another. If you're newer here, we would love to get to know you better. So maybe stick around and we would love to share more of who we are as well with you. So thank you for being here today. Have a great Sunday.